Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money.
Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, well, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open
90%.
Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys podcast here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We do really appreciate it. I'm Glenn Wiggle here with Mike Lomas. This is a show where money meets politics. We're going to talk again a little bit about how money meets politics today. Probably a little bit more about money, perhaps. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it happens. But not sure exactly where to start. We got a lot of stuff. And again, if you do like what you hear, folks, do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button below. You'll get all the alerts when new podcasts come out, when new videos come out. If you're watching this on YouTube, of course, we do have this in podcast format. You can download from iTunes, Spotify, Google, something or other, and every other place that you can find a quality podcast. If you are listening on a podcast, just know that this is also, oftentimes we release these in video form on YouTube. You can find the Financial Guys YouTube channel. All the stuff that we do as far as Instagram, our business, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, if you go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, that's the place where you'll find all the links for all the cool stuff that we're doing online and social media. And then, of course, you can ask us questions and find out what we actually do for a living, which is manage money. Where do you want to start?
Let's start out with Saturday, by the way. Andrew Pollack will be a special guest on our radio show. Andrew is the father of Meadow Pollack, who was the victim in the park, one of the victims in the Parkland shooting. Andrew has been one of the ones who are not blaming the guns for the problem. He's actually trying to figure out what the problems were. And there was a multitude of problems, from the school district to the Obama administration failing and some of the policies there, you know, from the guards to the law enforcement to the school principal. I mean, so
all the way down.
He's going to talk about, you know, not blaming the guns, but really getting to the bottom of making the school safer. And not to turn this into that show, it'll be Saturday, but it's amazing to me. You watch the Democrats, and they care more about gun control, basically, and taking guns out of good people's hands, but they haven't done crap to actually make the school district safer.
Well, they're not
one thing to make them safer. Now, if you told these same Democrats, by the way, hey, you're going into a meeting for Congress and there's no metal detectors out front. You're going in, there's no guards, armed guards out front. Not one of them would show up. Not one of those Democrats would walk into that building. But yet we send our kids into these schools every single day without not even 1/60th of the protection.
Right. So in his book, Why Meadow Died, he highlights all the different failures at every single level, from the school policies to government policies to the bureaucracies. It's a great book. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a place like that. We'll be talking to him here on the podcast next week and live on the radio this coming Saturday, which I believe will be, what's the date on Saturday, 20th, 21st. So coming up this Saturday, September 21st, he'll be live on the radio for a segment or two, and then next week's podcast, he'll be our special guest for the entire podcast.
So looking forward to that, by the way. And his daughter was a hero. There was a police officer that was hiding, that his daughter was protecting a freshman. I think she was a senior, right? She was a senior. And she actually put her body over a freshman who unfortunately also passed away and took five extra bullets.
It just makes you so angry. It just, when you hear about these failures and you realize that in the case of the FBI and law enforcement, 30 phone calls, 30.
Yep.
So for some reason, and I'm not going to make this a whole gun show, but just real quick, for some reason, the Democrats want everyone to lose their guns, everyone to turn them back in, and then make us reliant upon the government.
Yeah.
The same government that took 30 phone calls and did nothing. Oh. So why in the world would any sane person say, yes, I'm willing to give up my safety and security, my firearms and all, to rely upon a government that has failed over and over and over and over again? The sheriffs failed. The FBI failed big time. And I'll say this over and over again.
The principal
we still don't
and the guards
know.
Failed.
The principal failed. The guards failed. The superintendent failed.
Right.
We, by the way, for
all different government agencies, by the way. Every single one of them is a government agency.
By the way, we are going to start start getting more politically active down in Broward County in Florida. You, the superintendent down there, you're gone. We're going to take you out. So we're going to put money behind your opponent. We're going to do whatever it takes to get you out of that school district as superintendent. If you think the Sheriff Israel, if you think you're going to run again, he's talking about rerunning. He got ousted by the governor,
yeah,
or he was removed from his position. He's talking about running again.
It's unreal.
I can assure you, you will never again be sheriff. I will make sure that we'll do whatever we can, fundraisers or otherwise, to make sure that you go nowhere near that department and do what you did again. But it's just sad when you hear about these failures. And the liberals want to continue to do this. You look at California, right? New law signed by Gavin Newsom bans them from suspending disruptive kids.
Right.
So guess what? If your child's in a classroom with an abusive kid, with a kid who's starting fights, who's causing trouble, who's disruptive, the school can't do anything to suspend them anymore. No more suspensions in California schools. So you could beat up a teacher, right? You could run down the hall and assault people. No more suspensions now. That's what the public schools. So over and over and over again, these liberals are protecting criminals. They're protecting disruptive kids. They're protecting people who shouldn't be protected, and they're not protecting the ones that should be protected.
We'll talk more about this with Andrew Pollack, but specifically the Obama administration put legislation in place that actually tried to. Now Trump has zinged that out of there, but you know, specifically trying to protect these disruptive kids so it wouldn't go on their record.
That's right.
What kind of crap is that?
Yep.
And you know, we know for a fact, like this Parkland shooting, that these kids typically have a track record of being disruptive.
You know,
right?
What the sad thing
What's
is?
What's amazing to me, though, is you don't know, and the school districts have done a really good job of hiding these kids, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know.
Right.
You send your daughter, your son in, little Billy, and you've done your best. And by the way, in the case of Parkland, just like many people, they specifically moved to nice neighborhoods, mm-hmm, thinking they don't need to worry about that, right? In the case of we'll use Western New York as an example, our backyard here, I specifically tried to work hard. I waited to have a family so I could have enough money, so I wasn't raising my son or daughter in the east side of Buffalo,
right?
Why? Because I didn't want him to get shot by a drug dealer, right? So now you think you're moving your kid out to the suburbs, as it's nice, and we're taking a kid that's a mental midget, having all kinds
problems.
Of issues and problems, and we're burying him in the system so they don't have a bad track
record. And wiping
record,
the record clean.
And
the
you
record.
Don't know it. So your little Billy's sitting right next to some kid who should, by the way, have five misdemeanors, one of them, or at least two of them, maybe putting that child into a different system.
That's right.
You know, hopefully getting them help and getting them medicated in the right direction.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be in with the rest of the children. And then we wonder, in the case of this kid gets out with a gun, and the guard, another government employee, who knows, by the way, that this kid's a troubled kid, doesn't even call code red.
No, doesn't do a thing. You know, the Obama administration put that, changed some of the rules because it was supposedly racist, because too many African-American students were being expelled for violence. I got to tell you, every single one of these school shootings, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a white kid every time.
Well, it's unintended consequences,
so it's not a racist policy to say if you're a disruptive kid, you need to be removed from the school system.
Right.
If you're a violent kid, you need to be... Now, are there African-Americans that are violent kids? Yes.
Yeah. Well,
and a lot of white kids, too, obviously,
guess
right?
Guess what, though? Who gives a crap?
It's
if you're black
racist.
Or white, if you're a disruptive kid, get them out of the school.
Right. It's not racist. It just is what it is.
If I'm a black parent
and
a white kid is disruptive...
Get them out. That's right, exactly.
It's a joke.
Yeah, the schools are failing, and they're failing everybody. White kids, black kids, and everybody.
Yeah.
But sadly, you know, this is the kind of stuff that liberals think about, is how can we protect criminals? In California, by the way, this is only one article of many. They're now reclassifying parolees as previously experienced with law enforcement or something ridiculous like that. It's ridiculous. That's not exactly the term, but it's close to that.
Yeah,
it's close to that.
It'll by the time they're done, it'll come across as they were aiding, they were helping.
Right. I mean, unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, Johnny's got a track record of being with the L.A. Police Department. Wow, this resume looks really good.
A lot of this stuff.
He spent time in the back of the police. police car, not the front.
That's right, exactly. A lot of this stuff is just common sense, right? Yeah. Common sense to remove a violent kid from school.
These Democrats common do not sense. Have common sense. We've been watching the debates. They have zero common sense,
no,
right?
Clearly.
When Joe Biden, when Gropey Joe looks like the most conservative, and he looks like a moderate up there.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, you know, the only thing, I'm waiting for him to grab like Kamala Harris's hair, though, and be like,
like sniff it.
Oh my God, you smell so good right in the middle of the debates. But you know, when he looks like the most sane person up there,
right?
When his teeth are falling out, but the rest of them's brains are coming out of their head.
That's right.
That's a scary deal. Really scary deal. By the way, I welcome Trump to run against any of them. It really won't matter. Pick one.
It's not going to matter.
Pick one.
Getting back to common sense, though, you look at what's happening in Ilhan Omar's district, right? A couple weeks ago, we had an article we talked about. The FBI had a report out saying that that part of Minnesota has become a hotbed for terrorism. Mm. Now, if you recall correctly, when Trump came into office for 8 years of Obama, us on the right were screaming and yelling, saying, wait a minute, you know, you're bringing in, you know, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people from war-torn countries of folks that don't share the same ideals and Western values that we do in America. So we took 50 to 100,000 Somalis, many of them from refugee camps, and we put them in Minnesota. What do we have now? Mm-hmm. Well, we have, according to the FBI, not according to Glenn Wiggle and Mike Loma, so don't send me hate mail. According to the FBI, we have a hotbed of terrorism being exported from that district. Now we have a man who was beaten severely by a whole bunch of folks, right? 46% surge in robbery and violent crime in downtown Minneapolis compared to just a year ago.
That's crazy.
46%, right? So if there was 100 violent assaults, now there's 150 violent assaults or 146.
By the way, the Democrats were the ones saying, oh, no, worry about it. We're going to do the background checks on these people. These are good people. We're going to do the background checks. We're going to protect them. These are the same people that can't build a website. $100 million it took them to build a website, yet they're going to do a background check on these folks?
Earlier this year, Fox News reported that FBI statistics have found that Omar's congressional district is the terrorist recruitment capital of the United States.
Go figure.
More, and this is a quote from the FBI.
Go figure.
More men and boys from Somali American communities in Minneapolis have joined or attempted to join a foreign terrorist organization over the last 12 years than any other jurisdiction in the country. So let's see. So Trump comes into office, puts a ban on immigration from countries like Somalia. He gets painted in the liberal media. It's a Muslim ban. We're banning Muslims. I don't care what you call it. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel better to call it a Muslim ban, fine. Then ban the Muslims from coming in. But ban them from places like Somalia.
Yeah.
Ban them from places like Pakistan.
Yeah, the places.
Ban them from Afghanistan and all the other countries that are hotbeds of terrorism.
Yeah. If you want,
but he called him crazy.
Yeah. By
he
the way, if you,
right.
if you want to support fixing the problem over there, okay, I'm okay with that.
But he was
let's put
absolutely
up some safety
right.
areas. Let's work with them on making. But don't bring them in here. Don't tell me when you can't protect our kids in their schools that you're going to be able to vet these people as you come over and not to worry about it.
Everybody with a brain in their head said this would be the outcome.
Yep.
If you bring people from foreign countries that don't share our values, what you're going to have is you're going to have a breakdown of American values. Now you have a gang of people that are beating up on an elderly man, and it's happening not just in Minneapolis. It's happening all over the place. And, of course, at the same time, you've got the Democrats that are saying, oh, yeah, we're going to take your guns. We're going to take away the means that you had to protect yourself. You know, if you're an older man or older woman or a woman in general, the whole idea of having a firearm being able to protect yourself is so that it's the equalizer of size, right? You know, if you're a woman and you're facing a 6-foot-something, 250-pound attacker, guess what? I don't care any martial arts or self-defense training. Unless you have a taser, pepper spray, or a firearm, you're probably going to be in serious trouble. And, of course, the Democrats, again, want us to rely on the federal government who are going to be there after the fact, including in this case. And according to the article, when the police arrived, both the victim and all the perpetrators were gone. Yeah. Nice work, right? Yeah. No offense to them. They're there to investigate crimes, not necessarily prevent them. And they'd be the first ones to tell you.
Yeah, but by the way, thousands and thousands of crimes are prevented every year with good people with guns, but the mainstream media never picks up on that.
No,
speaking of totally incompetent, Christine Blasey Ford, attorney, admits on video client's testimony was politically motivated.
Shocking.
Wow, that's never would have thought that.
Yeah, millions of Americans
never would have thought
thanks
that.
Thanks for the update.
This is every time I see her picture, she looks crazier and crazier, right?
Well, first of all, the best
now
part
they found
is,
a new victim this week, but apparently she doesn't know anything about it.
Right.
That's the best
part. And you got to love, like, the mainstream media just runs with it. They're like, what? There's a name? Let's go with it. Let's do no research. Let's look into nothing about it. Let's run with it and paint him out to be a bad guy.
Front page New York Times, new accuser. Right? I open up
the
got to
be a blessing
report,
for Kavanaugh, right? He's just got to be like, okay, come on. Are we not done with this?
New accuser coming up.
Have we not exposed how crazy these people are?
The liberals are still running with it. We must impeach. I saw Kamala Harris tweet yesterday. We must impeach. Kamala, FYI, that's already been debunked. You're a little bit behind the times. New York Times comes out, front page hit piece. New accuser comes out. We must impeach.
How
we
does
can't
he
have
not,
this.
By the way, how does he not sue them civilly?
I hope he does.
$1 trillion.
I hope he does.
$1 trillion. I hope he puts them out of business.
I hope,
because
that
is just blatant neglect. I mean, you're talking about one reason and only, which is to totally destroy the guy's family. And
here's how they had that article, though. Somebody came forward and said, I saw this happen. Yeah. And New York Times takes that source and runs with it. By the time they get around to actually asking the victim, supposed victim, the victim, alleged victim, says, I don't have any recollection of that event. I don't think I'm a victim. I'm not even sure I was there. And by the way, I'm not going to comment on record. No, I don't want to be on the record.
Right.
I don't think it happened, right? So she's denied it even happened.
Oh, I think it did.
Right.
I think you were abused 30 years ago.
That's right.
I don't remember that.
Really remember
No, I think you were.
No, you were. I saw it. I was there.
I think you were.
It just so happens that their source happens to have previously worked in the, I guess, for a law firm that works for the Clinton Foundation.
Shocking.
So you have a Clinton operative, a Clinton attorney, right, that surfaces out of nowhere, goes to the New York Times and says, I think we should try to float that story. I'm serious about this. Let's send one of these clown reports in the New York Times. Let's send them an anonymous tip that says that we have an accuser that we saw a Kavanaugh abuse, and let's see if they contact us, and we'll give them a whole bunch of garbage and falsehoods that couldn't possibly be true, right? In fact, we'll say, you know, me, Glenn Wiggle, I was there, obviously a lot younger, I didn't go to Yale.
We'll dress up
I
like
bet
the,
you they won't even do anything
we'll,
to vet it. They'll probably run
we'll
with the story.
We'll dress up with, like, fake
fake
mustache, fake beard, hat, like the pimp from that exposed
James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe from Project Veritas.
Project Veritas.
That was the best ever.
Yes.
But anyway, I bet you if we did that, I bet you they would run with it.
Yeah.
I bet you they would.
You've got a Clinton attorney who exposed the fake story, and the attorney for Kristen Blasey Ford admits on video that the client's testimony was just all politically motivated.
You know, for those people,
shocker.
And I said this the other day, I said, you know, that she's clearly either has mental issues or she's just flat out lying. And somebody said to me, you know, don't say that. You know, we need to believe accusers. I'm like, yes, but all of the witnesses that she claimed were there all deny it.
Right.
Every one of them, right? So it's not as if it was he said versus she said. It was she said, and these four people will back me up, and all four people are like, no, I didn't really happen.
I don't think so.
So, but the downside is, again, I think when you start to use people like this as political hits, right, or political hit men or women, it does sadly diminish everybody else's true claims, right?
Yep.
It delegitimizes everybody else who legitimately was sexually assaulted or whatever else, and it's
That's
just terrible.
Right.
This is obviously this Christine Blasey Ford clearly was a political hit. I think she believes it. I think she was.
Well,
you know,
she might believe a lot of different things.
Exactly.
You can see it in her eyes.
Yeah,
she's
no
a
doubt.
Little bit nuts.
Anyway.
There's no doubt about
All right.
that.
Let's
take a break.
You want to take a break? All right.
Yep.
So let's take a very quick break. If you're listening again, folks, thank you for listening to the Financial Guys podcast. Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We are the Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. We're going to talk a bit about money on the other side of the break here. We're going to start off with Carl Icahn moving his business, another business leaving New York and going to Florida. Who could have thought this was coming, right? Shocking. But
no
there's
way.
Not going to be anybody left with many money in New York. It's going to
be
one giant welfare state. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. If you want to find out and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Again, thefinancialguys.com. You can find all of our social media stuff there, all the links to everything that we do. You can also find our different investment professionals. You can ask us questions through the website and use this as a resource for all things financial related. We are your one-stop financial shop, whether it's health insurance, Medicare, retirement planning, estate planning, college planning, you name it, we can handle it for you. you. Use us as a resource. If you think like us, if you voted for Obama and don't regret it, call somebody else, seriously. Again, if you need us, thefinancialguys.com.
Michelle's always proud when we get all the plugs in. And by the way, Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday, Andrew Pollack. Don't forget.
Yeah, don't forget about that. We'll be right back. A whole other segment to go. Don't turn the dial. Well, it's not really a dial, so don't turn this off, I guess. I don't know. Keep watching. We'll be right back. Financial Guys. All right, Financial Guys, welcome back, everybody. This is the place where money meets politics, and we just talk kind of all over the place in the first segment, as usual, typically how we roll. Thanks, everybody, by the way, who had us out last week for the radio show at the Buffalo Cigar Fest. What a great opportunity to talk to some amazing people. We got to have Rocky Patel on. I mean, he's a legend.
We got to get him
in the industry. Yeah, we need to have him on for a whole show, radio show.
I mean, you're like me, I think. You know, I smoke, really, if I was to say throughout the whole year, I probably smoke like 10 cigars, right? Mm-hmm. Like out at a social setting or something like that, but... He's like the Michael Jordan of cigars. Yes. I didn't know that.
What a great story,
3,500 employees, uh-huh. built from his garage.
Yep.
And, you know, he's had a lot to say about socialism and, you know, what America needs to be careful about, really.
Yep, so. No doubt. Really cool background. We also talked to Rafael Nadal with another, I can't think of company he's with, unfortunately, but second largest manufacturer of cigars in the country. I should know, not being a cigar smoker, I don't. But just great opportunity. You know, his family's from Cuba. Got to talk to him about, you know, his background and his upbringing. Rocky Patel, of course, is from India, so
now
he's another
immigrant.
By
the way, from Cuba, his fear is that there's a lot of people now with Trump running the country floating from Florida to Cuba.
Back to Cuba.
Trying to get in because they got everything for free because the government runs everything there.
Speaking of which, we got to play that video. Yeah. A video of the San Francisco pods. I mean, that's just classic. I mean, what are we doing as far as our education in this country?
Let
me forget to play that because it's priceless.
Billionaire Carl Icahn moving business from New York to Florida for lower taxes.
He's moving himself, his business, his family.
Yeah,
he's cleaning out.
He said he's putting together a relocation program for all of his employees. Yep. He offered them $50,000 to help him move, and he said he's sick of the taxes. You know what really stands out to me, though, and I think this is really, really important, is that when you look at New York, you had New York City that still survived for the most part because of the massive amount of money that was created from Wall Street, right? Mm-hmm. It was the financial engine of the world. Now, the rest of the state, and that's why geographically, if you look at New York, it's very conservative geographically, because the rest of us are going, we're not getting any of the benefits from Wall Street. Well, let me tell you something. Technology has been the ultimate equalizer. And more of these financial firms that were so dependent, we had to be on Wall Street, are going, you know what? We're leaving.
Yep.
And I'll see you. We have an office down in Palm Beach. Palm Beach
and
is
Jupiter.
Slowly but surely turning into... the next Wall Street.
And
it's a little different, right? Because you don't need just traders. Now technology can handle all that stuff. But before it was, I'm going to be Gordon Gekko. I'm moving to Wall Street. I'm going to be rich, right? You don't need that anymore.
Technology moved to Wall Street and New York City makes you poor.
Yeah, but technology's been the ultimate equalizer, and I'll tell you what, it is smacking New York State in the face. Now, we were $3 billion short last year. I can only imagine what we're going to be short next year. How many Carl Icahns need to move? How many of the, what is it?
Paychecks.
Paychecks, yeah.
Galisano.
How many Galisanos need to move before, at some point, New York State says, you know what, the massive amount of welfare we cannot afford anymore,
which is
the number one problem in this country.
They don't care.
In the state. But they're going to go bankrupt.
They don't get it.
It's going to go bankrupt. Some point, we're going to have to start defaulting on some of the bonds and moving forward.
Here's the sad thing. People like Carl Icahn can afford the move.
Yeah.
People that are 80 years old living in downtown Buffalo that are on a fixed income, that are a widow, cannot.
Well,
right? The family that's trying to raise two or three kids on a middle-class family income cannot, right? They can't just pick up and go.
And by the way,
it's funny because
what these Democrats will say is, well, the city of Buffalo is coming back or this area is coming back. You look at the state of New York, and I want you to really take a good look at the state of New York. Are there going to be victories? You betcha.
There won't be many,
but guess what? There's people that have committed their lives to this area, right? And they're go-getters, and they're doing it in spite of all the redistributing of wealth that's going on.
Yep.
Is there a lot of victories? No, not nearly as many as there is in Texas, right? I mean, Texas, I think it's something like 30% of the jobs in this country are created out of Texas. Are we going to see that in New York? Absolutely not. Are you going to see little areas of victory? Yes, you will. Guess what's going to happen, though, right? And we've said this for years, and we're damn right. You want the city of Buffalo to come back? Guess what's going to happen to Jamestown, New York? Guess what's going to happen to Syracuse,
New York? Well, that's what's happening now.
Exactly right. Guess what's going to happen to Utica, New York? Guess what's going to happen to all these little outskirt places, right? They're going to suffer. So, yes, will there be pockets? Of course there will be pockets of success. But is it going to be a success across the state? Clearly not. And there's going to be other areas that suffer. By the way, this is exactly what we need to happen. The more that the city can suffer, although I got to tell you, I look at cities like Los Angeles, and you'd think they'd figure it out. Yeah. They're bringing back diseases that we've never seen or haven't seen in 100 years, and they still don't get it. So my guess is the city of New York will be the same. It's sad but true.
You know, sad thing is that you're right. We are drawing from Syracuse. We're drawing from Rochester, and yet Buffalo is still shrinking.
Well, the little outskirts.
But Erie County is still shrinking as a county. It's even drawing from those places. Yeah. It's still getting good. This is great. The New York Post, which first reported on the upcoming move, reported that Icahn invited staffers to join him in Miami and offered a $50,000 relocation benefit. The paper reported that employees who want to stay in New York will be let go without severance.
Yeah.
He has about 50 employees. Half have already reportedly taken the offer.
The biggest blow, by the way, to the state and the city is not the 50 people relocating. That's a big hit, trust me. I mean, that's 50, that's like 45 more people than the Buffalo Billion created as far as jobs go.
Yeah, right.
But the 50 people won't be the big deal. When you talk about a guy named like Carl Icahn, he is having huge conferences, huge conventions, right? Galassano did the same thing.
Yep.
It wasn't Galassano leading.
Funding the hospitals.
Paychecks a national
funding the
company.
Arts centers. Right.
And the major conferences, right? The minute Galassano relocated down to Florida, all those conferences went down to Naples, including at the time, by the way, I don't even remember this, but he owned the Buffalo Sabres at the time.
Yep.
And the Buffalo Sabres actually had their national meeting down in Florida.
Right.
It's a hockey team.
Right.
Now, last I knew, I don't think they have a lot of ice down there, right?
No.
It didn't matter.
And nobody supports the NHL team.
Because he was down there, right?
That's right.
So he was down there. So he said, you know what? We're going to have the off-season meetings now down there. So, you know, we're talking about building new convention centers and all this stuff. That has such a huge negative blow to the state. And you know, to like Galassano, huge blow to Rochester, huge blow to Buffalo.
Well, Galassano went to Florida, and the first thing he did was he invested in the Children's Hospital down there with something like $10 or $20 million he committed.
Yep.
And then he created this outdoor play center, just like the Strong Museum in Rochester. He built the same thing in Florida and to Naples, and I've been there with my kids. It's spectacular. It's just like the Strong Museum. It's awesome. That's, you know, the Strong Museum of Play, where the kids can go and do different things. It's kind of hands-on. They built a very similar facility. He was the primary funder of it down in Naples.
This state will never come back until we get our arms around the welfare. And it's the corporate welfare and the everyday welfare. And unless you get your arms around that and politically attack, by the way, I think if somebody did politically attack it and explain the real issues that are going on with the abuse in that, I do think they'd have a shot to run against Andrew Cuomo. But it's going to have to be somebody with some big money and some big cojones for sure.
I don't know. I think you've got, I mean, I'm sorry, but the,
you might folks, be too late.
You folks in New York City are dumber than
late.
Dirt.
I don't know what to tell you, but if you voted
for Cuomo, and for those of you that say, how can you say that? I'll tell you why I can say that, because all of you liberals on the left say anyone who voted for Trump, anyone who supported Trump is a racist and a Nazi, which, by the way, is extraordinarily insulting. But I'll go a step further.
And not true.
Any of you who voted for Cuomo, you're dumber than dirt. Either that or you're selfish and you're doing it only for your own personal self-interest at the expense of everybody else. Nobody in this state likes Governor Cuomo.
I think
nobody can point to anything that Governor Cuomo has done to say, wow, their success, wow, the SAFE Act, that's great. The red tape law, what is it? The red flag laws now, right?
Oh, red flag, yeah.
What else has he done? Oh, he's taking money away from veterans and giving them to illegal aliens so we can pay for their college.
Yeah.
Who supports this stuff? Who supports full-term abortion? 80-something% of people in America, almost 90% think that waiting until the baby is coming out of the birth canal is probably too late to have an abortion. abortion and kill
that
baby.
But yet they're still voting for him.
But so I don't understand this.
By the way, the school teachers hate him, right?
I don't
He's taking control
What's the matter
out
with
of
you
the school,
people?
Out of the teachers and away from the teachers and basically said, we're going to standardize this test. And the teachers are totally pissed off, yet the teachers' unions still support them, right?
And if you're
80% of people are against full-term abortion, but apparently he gets back in, right? We've got millions of registered gun owners in this state. He wants to take your guns, and he still gets voted in.
Right.
You just got to ask yourself, who is this? What are people thinking? And I think it does come back to them being more dumb than they are selfish.
And let me say this. For those that are in the trade union or work for the AFL-CIO or whatever else, and they say, well, he's pro-union. Let me just tell you. Let me give you guys
a
hint.
Pro-union.
When the businesses are gone,
yes.
Okay? When the businesses are gone and there's nobody left there's no jobs, guys.
Yeah.
You can be the best union in the world. Guess what? If you're a union worker at New Era, your job, bye-bye. It's gone, right?
By the way.
So it's going to affect you, too, from an economic standpoint. As the jobs go away, as the companies go away, as the Carl Icahns move, even if you're in a public sector union, where's the money going to come to pay for you guys?
Yeah.
There's going to have to be state employee layoffs. So I'm telling you.
And, by the way, a readjustment of pensions. You're going to see Chicago is going to be first.
Absolutely.
Illinois will be first.
Right.
And then it'll be followed by either New York or California.
That's right.
There'll be a readjustment of those pensions. And to your point with these union workers, you pay taxes too.
That's right. You should
be just as pissed off that 35% of the welfare checks in the state are getting cashed outside the state. That's your money. That's Billy with a Corona today on Myrtle Beach.
That's right.
As you're going to work welding something
plumbing
something or belaying electrical lines or whatever you do.
Absolutely.
I would be, in fact, I'd be more pissed off because every dollar counts. Yep. When you're making $50,000-$60,000 a year,
right?
You're Carl Icahn. It doesn't matter as much. He's doing it to make a political statement. God bless him, right?
Yep.
That's really what he's doing. Because at the end of the day, when you're a billionaire or a multi-billionaire, what's the 7%? It's a lot of money, I know, but it's not cheap. What's the
9%? Almost 9.
Sorry, what's the 9%, right? What's 2% among friends, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is it's a crap load of money,
right?
But it's not changing his lifestyle, right? His private jet's still there. He's doing it for a political statement, and God bless him. But you're a union carpenter, you're a union electrician. 10% is a big deal.
That's right.
But every job's a big deal.
But
it's
if you want your wages to go up, if you want more opportunities, if you want better benefits. All that comes when you have a thriving economy, okay? New York has a collapsing economy, not a thriving economy. So if you look, again, we're on the same page, right? We're on the same side of this. We all want better jobs, better schools, more money in our own pocket. That comes with conservative types of principles. Smaller government, lower regulations, right? Not this state, though. So if you're a union member and you're pulling the lever for Andrew Cuomo, I want you to stop and think for a second, okay? Who really has your best interest at heart? Do you think Cuomo really gives a crap whether or not you have a job tomorrow or not? He's going to pay you lip service because he gets the big checks from union bosses, which are coming from your dues, by the way. But if you really want to have better opportunities, higher wages, better benefits, that all comes with a better, more robust economy. Let's take a look at the places that are thriving in this country, right? Texas, we just mentioned. Florida, Tennessee. All those states have one thing in common. They're led by Republicans that are smaller government. Well, not anymore. Lower taxes and lower regulations.
Look at some of the areas that are like supporting fracking and these little towns where they don't. Then these folks aren't unionized, but the McDonald's workers are making $25 an hour because of the demand. If we can just end it with the video you showed before about the dumbing down of America.
Yes,
this is really priceless, by the way. We'll end it with this. Don't forget Andrew Pollack going to be joining us. Of course, his daughter Meadow, part of the Parkland shooting. He'll be on the radio on Saturday talking about safety, all the problems that end up happening in Parkland. But if your son or daughter is going to school, you're going to want to tune into this because pretty amazing when you look
you'll
at all the different layers of incompetency that went down.
You'll be amazed, and then you're going to want to get very, very, very involved.
Yes.
You're going to want to get very involved at the school board level to try to change some of these policies. And, of course, in New York, what New York just did is made it even easier. for your child to be a victim because they just outlawed arming teachers in the classroom.
Yeah.
Now, again, we'll talk about this. No one's saying that every teacher has to be armed. We're not. But look, there's ex-military that are teachers now. There's ex-law enforcement that are teachers.
There are folks in the district my kids go to school that are highly trained in weapons and have gone on for advanced training, and I know that for a fact, and they are teachers in the district, and I would 1,000% support my daughter sitting in that classroom with them on a day-to-day basis. That's the classroom I would want my daughters to be in.
Absolutely.
Something happened.
All right, so this is a CNN special, little short clip that's talking about these new pods in San Francisco. Because you either live in a tent, or you share and you cohabitate with other people, or you're a gajillionaire tech guru like Mark Zuckerberg. There's no in between anymore.
Which Mark's house has got a nice wall around it.
Absolutely. In fact, he bought the whole block.
Yep.
So bought he could kick out all the neighbors.
Bought the neighbor's house, knocked it over.
Didn't put other people in those houses.
No.
Just knocked them over so he could have more room.
Nobody but living. Just like the Obama, the new mansion, the third mansion for the Obamas that they own now? Yeah. Just like the third mansion that they bought in Nantucket, nobody else is living there. There's no illegal immigrants that have been invited in.
Yeah, the Clintons got home. He knows how many houses they have.
Yeah. No, nobody living.
Not housing any
Nobody outside of the servants that probably aren't even earning minimum wage.
Right. I'm sure.
Yeah, are living
this
there.
This is the best here.
PodShare is affordable shared housing that we build across Los Angeles, and here in San Francisco is our first site. The idea, it's membership-based housing. So if you book a pod, you can stay across the whole network of locations.
This is the best. $1,200 a month for a pod, by the way.
Yeah.
I was born in the USSR in 1985. My whole concept was like the idea of the government giving you everything in a communist state. If you could subscribe to a housing membership and
what
have
more? Yeah. I liked it, but we left.
Right.
I liked it. Right. Think about that. You know what I really liked about the USSR? The government gave us everything, but we got the hell out.
Did anybody? but here's the thing with her. Did you? Okay, so I really like
the knocking her head and say, "Is there just wood in there?"
Yeah. So just like the way the communist government gave you everything. Did you not see, did nobody teach this girl history and what happened with the...
Right.
She was born in the USSR in 1985. In 1985, right, in 1990, they collapsed, right? They collapsed. The USSR collapsed and ceased to exist. Why?
Couldn't get toilet
communism.
Paper. Communism. Couldn't get toilet paper.
You couldn't get
no
automobiles.
Electricity.
You couldn't get toilet paper.
Yeah,
they had food shortages, okay? In 1985, people were suffering in the USSR like they're suffering today in Cuba, right? You have no idea.
Does it ever hit these people, though, that for them to get something,
unbelievable.
It doesn't just show up?
Well,
it's got to be taken from somebody else to give it to you.
For her, though. This is great. It gets even better. Yeah. I'm going to play that again just so you can really hear what she says.
My whole concept was like the idea of the government giving you everything in a communist state. What if you could subscribe to a housing membership and have all your needs met? In the fridge, there should just be like cereal, ramen, collegiate foods. And there should always be toothpaste and toilet paper and just these basic things that you just need to live.
Like they should just be. It just shows up. Did you listen to her, though?
It's called living at home. Right?
Yeah.
It's called living at home.
Yeah. My 7-year-old. She's got that.
Right. My kids probably figured out. I just show up. There's food in the fridge. There's ramen noodles in the cupboard. There's toothpaste in the bathroom.
This is great.
It's called living with mom and dad.
This is great. At some point, you got to be the one that moves out and does that for yourself. Because this is great.
We got to follow this.
It just shows up. Ramen noodles. At least ramen noodles. I mean,
we got to follow this.
Look, if the government is going to give anything out, if the Democrats are going to give everything out, if you want to win the next election, don't forget about $1,000 a month. Forget about free health care, Medicare. Ramen noodles.
Right.
Ramen noodles would be something that I might consider voting for.
So here's the concept. You come into these things. You pay $1,200 a month. You get basically a bunk. Right. You have somebody living above you in a bunk, somebody living below you. Mm. I got to tell you, the genius of it is the person who owns this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the kind of rents they're probably getting is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing.
It's literally a pot.
It looks
like a dumpster with a bed in it.
At what point, though, the best part is at what point is it going to – is because I must – so let me just get this straight. So they all get together. Let's say that there's – let's say it's a building and there's – I don't know. Let's say there's 10, 12 people living in the building, right?
Well, apparently you can switch pots.
You can – oh, yeah, you can –
any what you want.
Who's filling the fridge? I guess my question. Who's filling the fridge? Who?
I probably
who's putting the toothpaste in the bathroom, right?
Oh, it doesn't show up?
It
just doesn't magically show up?
I don't know. I guess my – is it the people that are renting the pods that are responsible for supplying the kitchen? I can only see how that's going to go. I got to tell you, I was in a fraternity in college, And a fraternity had, I don't know, probably 30, 40 people that lived in the fraternity house. I never lived in the fraternity house. You know why? Because they lived like animals, number one. Second reason.
Because the toilet paper just didn't show up?
No. Right, exactly. Because there was constantly, like, no food in the house, no toilet paper. Nobody in the house was good. In fact,
I think you actually just nailed big government, right? Because it's supposed to be there.
Right.
The thought is nice.
The
thought is nice.
Yeah, nobody told her it didn't work in the USSR.
Yeah.
Nobody gave her that memo. Right. Your parents left for a reason.
The thought is nice to say, hey, look, I'd like to just not work and just show up and there's food in the fridge.
Yeah.
Electricity's on. Everything's
awesome.
Good. The thought is great. I love the concept. It's just failed miserably all throughout the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Every time it's been tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good on paper, but honestly, it does not work. This is just classic. Let me play a little more of this.
Sorry, I can't not interrupt her.
And that's kind of the concept of PodShare. You just share pods across a network with people that become your friends.
Your friends. Or a rapist who shows up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or the violent illegal alien that LA has let out of jail four times.
Or the MS-13 gang member.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, this ought to go great. We have to follow
just
this.
Just sleep with one eye open. That's all you need to do. Look, there'll be ramen noodles in the fridge.
Right.
You just might get stabbed in the back during the night.
That's right. We have to follow this for a year. We'll be reporting back on this.
See how that works
out. Every 3 months or so, we just check in with these
guys. We'll see how that works out.
And see how things are going.
I'll be curious. You know what we should do is throw a little cash into a little, like a just not a lot of money, just for fun.
Like
to see what diseases come out of this.
Oh, yeah. That ought to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what they do with the pods when they're absolutely destroyed because nobody actually worked for a living to actually
take care of them.
Take care of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, unreal. This guy's actually a good kid. He's just a participant here.
Currently being used.
Yeah. Just walked in and during the video. Just, this one's currently being used. Apparently, they don't have doors on the bathrooms there. I don't know.
Imagine,
this one's being used. Oh,
Could you imagine?
If you're living in a house, though, with 12 people, wouldn't you lock the bathroom door?
But I can't imagine not having my privacy like that.
I don't know.
I just can't imagine not having my privacy
like
that.
It's hilarious. She's just the best, though. The whole idea of, just like the whole concept of the USSR,
having
the government give you everything.
Before her family fled,
You were born in 1985.
About the USSR.
5 years later, the whole thing collapsed.
Oh, my God.
The whole economy collapsed.
They really liked that about Venezuela, too, and now they're eating their dogs.
That's right. So. They love the idea. They love the concept of getting oil and gas for free.
Oh, my
God. They don't love it so much anymore.
That was better, by the way, than Gropey Joe's teeth falling out.
Gropey Joe.
That ended it on a good note.
Unreal. We had other things I wanted to get to with the debate. We're not going to get to it. We did talk about it last Saturday on the show. If you want to hear our commentary from last week's debate, go to our, go to something.
On Demand.
Go to On Demand. Radio.com app. You can listen to the radio shows that are recorded there. You can probably get it from our website as well, thefinancialguys.com. Just some quick highlights from that. Economy and energy, they have a hell-bent to destroy the country, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at the policies from
everything.
Kamala Harris.
They're going to shut down everything, including the meat you're going to eat.
That's right.
But then they're not sure because Booker said, we never said that. But yet,
Kamala, 20 minutes earlier, said
not even. It was 12 minutes before that or 10 minutes before that. She said, we're going to control the meat you eat.
Yes.
And then Aurora, of course, was going to just take care of all the guns. He was going to take them out.
Biden, this is a direct quote from Biden.
By the way, I got a great idea. They want to take away all the guns. This is right.
Yeah.
Beto said, I want to take away all the guns. Why don't we start? I'm willing to do this. Beto, why don't you start with the goddamn criminals first?
Yeah. That might
why
be
don't
good.
We do that? Why don't you start? If you can do me this. If you can get the illegal guns off the streets, and let's pick an area with real restrictive gun control rules, Chicago, right? Why don't you do this, Beto? Show up in Chicago with your buddies, the Obamas. Oh, yeah, they moved out of the bad areas of Chicago. Okay. But why don't you show up in Chicago and see if you can get the bad guys' guns first?
Yes.
If you can do that, I'm willing to talk. But I want them first. It's a good social experiment for you.
You know, they talked to the police chief in Chicago, and the guy said flat out, he goes, we know who these people are.
Yeah.
Because we've arrested them dozens of times.
Yeah.
So the police keep arresting people for violent crimes. They put them in jail.
Yep.
And the liberals who run the criminal justice system say, we don't really want to prosecute people like Jussie Smollett.
I mean, he only broke into it. They only stole cars.
People.
It really wasn't violent.
He only shot somebody down the street, but the guy didn't die yet, so he really can't try him for murder.
Yeah.
So put him back on the street.
And then by
over over and over and over again. Then, and the criminals know it, by the way.
Yeah,
they know it.
They kill four people in a drug raid, right, or a drug whatever breakdown. And then, you know, the story in the Chicago Tribune says, geez, we're really shocked at this. We know, I mean, but he did have a criminal record.
Right.
And, you know, he was arrested in 1997, 2005. We're really shocked, though, that he went in and killed four people. We just really find it hard to believe that he was back on the streets and he did it again.
The guy in downtown Buffalo, I'll never forget this, that shot
City
eight
Grill.
People.
City
shot
Grill.
Eight people at the City Grill. Four were killed and four were wounded. I remember seeing his rap sheet in the Buffalo News.
It was unreal.
He had like eight prior or ten prior convictions for assault, two prior gun charges. Now, mind you, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you have one too many bullets in your magazine in New York, you're probably going to jail, right? If you're a law-abiding citizen and you defend your home from multiple attackers with an unregistered AR-15, you're probably going to jail.
Yeah.
However, if you're a hoodlum from the ghetto, you can shoot eight people repeatedly, come in and out of jail, have multiple assaults, multiple drug offenses, multiple offenses with unlawful firearms, multiple offenses of shooting people, and they still let you right back out on the street.
Yeah.
It's something
by the way,
wrong in the brains of liberals.
Yeah, by the way, in states like California, they may not even be arresting you soon. So you can rob as many things as you want.
Well, Joe wants
to
do it on a national level.
You just don't hurt anything.
No. Biden wants to do it on a national level.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think it's California.
No, it's Joey.
No, it's Joe. It's Gropey Joe.
Yeah.
This is a direct quote.
Well, Gropey Joe wants that because he continues to touch people inappropriately.
Well, it works great for him. that makes a lot of
Now it all comes together. Yeah.
Yeah, Gropey Joe said, this is a quote.
That's a nonviolent crime, smelling somebody you don't know
is
hair.
Right. Yeah. No one should be in jail for a nonviolent crime.
Right.
That is exactly what Gropey Joe said. No one should be in jail for a nonviolent crime. Yeah, I guess that works out great for him.
Yeah, let's go out and rob those cars. Rob a bank. Just don't kill anybody.
Anyway. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Thanks again for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast. You'll get all the alerts when new ones come out. If you're watching this on YouTube, again, hit the subscribe button below. Click the like button as well. That helps us quite a bit. And don't forget to hit our website, thefinancialguys.com. You can find all of our social media links to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Maybe Snapchat at some point, but I don't understand Snapchat.
No, I don't think Snapchat.
Probably not.
Rochelle's going, no.
I don't get the whole thing.
Well,
so
Snapchat
we get
just makes you look
I'm
going to
send you a
weird.
Picture or a video, so but then it's going to disappear after you watch it once. Like, it always seems like my kids are like, oh, quick, watch it. Oh, no, it's gone.
But
isn't, no, I can never
am
see
I wrong
like,
by that?
Oh,
isn't Snapchat the one that makes you, like, the filters?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, but if you want to find out what we do for a living, we do manage money for a living. If you want to find out our different departments, whether it be college planning, estate planning, retirement planning, investment planning.
I mean, Medicare folks, Mondays, by the way,
Paul
Buffalo.
Meeks on CNBC again this past, yesterday, I think he was on, right?
He was.
On Monday, so this comes out the day after we
And we do have Medicare Mondays, independent Medicare reps. If you're in the Western New York area, make sure you take advantage of Medicare Mondays where we have workshops. We can go to our website for all that information.
Yep, thefinancialguys.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, or watching. On behalf Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We're the Financial Guys. This is a place where money meets politics, and we'll talk to you next week here on the Financial Guys podcast. Don't forget, Saturday, Andrew Pollack on the radio show, 1 to 3 on WBEN, 1 to 2 on WFTL.